Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to see you here today. It was so good to see you. We're glad that you're here. We are continuing a series today called I Believe in God, But. And that's why we're losing wearing these buttons. It says, I'm losing my butt. B-U-T, not B-U-T-T, all right? So, not B-U-T-T-Y. Never mind. Okay, or I-E or whatever. Okay. I better stop. You always understand I'm not a good speller. So, yeah, I'll get in trouble if I go there. Hey, hope that you're wearing these. I don't know about you, but I've been wearing mine, and really nobody's really even asking me something. They're just sort of reading it and like, that's a freak, and then move on. I don't know what kind of response you're getting, but anyways. Well, today we're talking about I believe in God, but pursue happiness. That's the title today. At any cost, and then the other, and of course, trust in money more. And I want to talk to you today about that. I've thought about this because I think every one of us here in our life pursuit is happiness. As a matter of fact, I was listening to the radio a couple weeks ago, and I was interviewing these college students, and they were saying, okay, what do you want out of life? And every one of them says, well, I just want to be happy. And in our culture and in our world, we have made it. Our life's goal is just to be happy, to be happy. We are just overboard with being happy. And I think that's what we would say all we want to do is be happy. But I just want to ask you this question, and I think you would agree with me when I say that a lot of crimes are committed in people pursuing happiness. Would you agree with that? Do you think the guy goes and robs the bank and says, oh, I want to go rob the bank so I can be sad? Or so that I can just be depressed. No, I think what motivates someone to rob a bank is to think, oh, I'm going to get all that money. And I'm going to be so happy because I'm going to be living in another country with all this money. Do you agree with that? That sort of thought process. So would you agree that a lot of crimes that are committed, I would say the majority of crimes that are committed are with the motive of being happy. I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way or not, but people do a lot of wrong things with the motive to be happy. And I would say that not only that, but I've been guilty before, and maybe you haven't, but I have. I've been guilty of committing a sin against God with the motive of I thought it would make me happy. And so happiness as a pursuit, my friends, is not very, it's not a very pure life to live when you are pursuing happiness, because if you just pursue happiness, that means, listen, if the goal of life is to be happy, then you cannot be upset when someone breaks into your house and steals your things, because they were doing it to be happy, just like you were pursuing something else to be happy. So if happiness is the goal of life, we have no reason to be upset with people when they break the rule of law against us. You see what I'm saying? So really, we can't just live life to be happy, can we? From that standpoint, some of you are going, man, never thought about it like that before. So if God's goal is to let everybody be happy, then that means everybody's off the hook. So we have to talk about what does happiness mean. And let me just say this. If you think that it's God's responsibility to make you happy, then listen, this is what you're going to do. You're only going to pray prayers, and you're only going to give money because you think you can get something in return from God that he will owe you. So when God doesn't answer the prayers that you think is the answer to make you happy, then you will say, you know what? Well, I ain't going to pray anymore. Or I'm not going to read the Bible anymore. Matter of fact, people do this all the time. Because they pray for something, they don't get it, and this is what they do. They slam the Bible down. They said, I'm not reading that anymore, and they refuse to pray, and then they refuse to go to church. Like they're hurting God. Hello, you don't hurt God. When you choose to do what's wrong, you only hurt you. And that takes us right into the point today. And here's the point, okay? Matter of fact, I don't have it called the point today on your outline. I call it the choice. And this is what I found to be true in my life, is that there's two choices it always comes down to, and here it is. Let's read it together. You ready? My momentary pleasure or God's... Okay, my momentary pleasure or God's blessing on my life. That's what it all boils down to, is that it's my momentary pleasure. I'm going to get what I want, how I want it, when I want it, and I don't care who it hurts or who it offends, or I don't care if it ticks God off, or I'm going to choose God's blessing. It's my choice. I have to choose. There's a choice every day of my life. I don't know about yours. I mean, you know, when someone cuts me off into my car, even though it is a little wimpy car that I drive, I still feel that man inside, you know what I'm saying, that wants to roll down. You know, I do have an auto window go down by the, you know. Listen, that's right. It does have that feature on it. I want to hit that button down, throw my hand out, and do the Hawaiian wave, you know. I mean, I do, but it's that choice. You see, it's either that momentary pleasure of relief of letting them know how I feel about the decision they made, or God's blessing. Every day of my life and every day of your life, it hinges on these two things: my momentary pleasure or God's blessing. And that's either or. It's your choice. You choose every day. And so let's look at what the Bible says about God's blessings. You know, God wants to bless us, and so this is how God blesses us. There's three things I want to share with you today. God blesses us when we choose to, number one, on your outline, it's inside your bulletin, I want you to write this down. God blesses us when we choose to, number one, do what he says is right over what seems will make me happy. God blesses me. God blesses you, and he blesses me when we choose to do what is right over what seems will make us happy. Because what I think will make me happy sometimes makes me regret what I've done. You know, I regret when I do what seems to make me happy. After I do that, then I live in this guilt because I did what I thought would make me happy and it didn't make me happy. Now I have all this false guilt. Has anybody ever been there? You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, okay, I don't know how you guys work, but like Rhonda and I at home, you know, when I force my way, when I say, nope, it's going to be this way. I don't care what you're saying. You can just be quiet, and I'm going. Maybe she wants me to stay home. And I said, no, I'm going to play golf. I don't care. Momentary pleasure or God's blessing. And Rhonda's blessing and God's blessing align in my house. See what I'm saying? So I can force my way. I'm going to do it. I don't care because it seems right. I deserve this. And I take off and I go do it. And then I come back. Well, I live in Hades for 3 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Hello. Or a little longer. Okay. You guys don't have a clue to what I'm talking about, do you? Yeah, it's really hit home, doesn't it? All right. Okay. So look what the Bible says. Proverbs 14 and 12. There is a way that what? I know it too much. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end leads to what? Death. And sometimes you can still be alive and suffer death. Death. That means that when you got trouble at home or others, when your actions have caused you death in relationships, you know, it just hurts you, okay? So the Bible says that there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end leads to death. And I just want to say this, is God can never bless sin no matter how much it makes you happy. God will never bless sin no matter how much you make it. Does he want me to be happy? No, if it causes you to sin. You say, well, why not? The same reason that the guy that's about to break in your house and steal everything you got is that God doesn't want him to do that either because he says that's going to make him happy. So God says, no, the goal of life is not happiness. The goal is God's blessings. God's blessings. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What's these next two words? Let's say them out loud. You ready? He chose. Notice that. It's a choice. It's always a choice. Momentary pleasure or God's blessing. Moses chose. He chose to be mistreated. In other words, he chose to be unhappy. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for how long? A short time. Isn't that the way? Sin only lasts a short time. I mean, it only lasts a short time. It's fun for a season. But it's amazing that when the springtime of sin is in, it's amazing how that the summertime of sin comes and the fall and the winter of sin come. And my friend, that one springtime is not worth the other three seasons. It always happens, you see. And Moses said he knew that. He would rather to suffer with God's people. He chose. He said, I'm not going to take momentary pleasure. I want to take the blessings of God. And that's our choice every day, isn't it? It's our choice every day. Momentary pleasure, get my way, say what I want to say, do what I want to do, or either I can choose the blessings of God. And Moses said he'd choose that because he knew that the pleasures of sin would only be for a short time. So, number two. Let's talk about number two. God blesses us when we choose to, number two, pursue Jesus over pursuing happiness through things. Through things. God blesses us when we choose to pursue Jesus over pursuing happiness through things. Through things. You see, God doesn't want you to be happy if your happiness is based on a thing. Matter of fact, if you watch enough television, my friend, you'll find out that you don't have the right things. I don't watch a lot of late night television. I'm just I'm an early riser, and I'm an old fogey. I go to bed by 10 o'clock. I mean, I just try to go to bed by 10. If I'm going to get up 5:30 and 6 every day, and I just got to do it. But when I'm sick or something and can't sleep, because I'm one of those kind of people that can't sleep sometimes, I'll get up and turn the television on. You know, and I've actually studied sleep. I've actually become a student of sleep. I've read many books on how to get better rest, because I need it. And there's sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and they say, just get up and do something, you know, and don't just try to lay there and make yourself go back to sleep. So sometimes I get up and, you know, I'll just go in the living room and I'll turn the television on. And it's amazing the infomercials that are on at all kinds of the morning. I mean, I found out that I am not a happy, I cannot be happy because I don't have the 150-piece knife set that cuts bricks in two. I mean, I just can't be happy without that. You've got to have that. There's only 50, so I'm thinking, who in the world's awake buying this junk? And then I found out, you know, there's no way that I could be happy. And listen, a couple years ago, I fell prey to one of these. I got up, I don't know, you know, I must have been sick, so I must have been on some kind of medication or something. But they had the Ab Ripper X battery powered. Ab Ripper X battery powered. You do no work at all. You put this belt on and you will have the abs of like this guy they showed that was ripped. And I wasn't as thin as I am now back then, and I had this belly on me, you know. And I thought, you know, I'm going to do that. And I don't know how, but I did it. I bought one of those things, and I put that thing on and put the battery pack on, and I remember putting it on, and I turned it on, and it was like, ooh, ooh. It started shocking me down here and up here. I thought, well, maybe you just got to grit and bear it, you know. So I grit and bear it. They said, do anything around your house while you have the Ab Ripper X so-and-so on. So I decided I was going to, you know, I said, okay, I'm getting ready. So I decided I'm going to brush my teeth. I get my toothpaste on, and I start brushing my teeth, and that thing's shocking me, and there's fire going off my teeth. Oh, no, I had to be, and I found out 3 years ago, I could not be happy unless I had this blanket that had these weird holes in it that I could put on. Who can be happy without a Snuggie, huh? Who can be happy without that? The world is always telling us this. This is the message of the world. Listen, is that you can never be happy without something that you don't have. Did you hear that? The world's message to you and to me today is that if you just had this one more thing, you would be happy. You can never be happy unless you have the thing that you don't have. That's the world's message always. That's why, listen, you know, I was going to make my wife happy, and when the iPad come out, I surprised her with that last Christmas. Wasn't it last Christmas? The iPad just come out last Christmas? Is that right? Or was it year before? I mean, they've come so quick, I don't even know anymore. But anyways, I went and got her one when they first come out. Man, I was going to be king at my house, you know. And guys, let me tell you something. I spent $600 and something, or right, $700, and all good deeds die at midnight. You know, I thought I could live on that one for a while. Remember I got you that iPad? That was yesterday. Okay? But that's another message for another time. But anyways, but it's amazing. I got her the iPad, you know, and then after Christmas, they come out with the iPad 2, and now they're coming out with the iPad 3, and before, you know, it'd be the iPad 4 and the iPhone 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's all a marketing thing, you know, because as soon as you get comfortable, and I know many people who went out just had bought that iPad, oh, the 2 come out, oh, I got to have that one. It's the next new thing. And so as long as you live your life on things, you're never going to be happy because there's always going to be something that you don't have that the world's going to try to tell you you've got to have to be happy. You see what I'm saying? And that's our culture, and that's what we buy into all the time. Now look what Jesus said. All right, look at Psalms. Psalms 112 and 1 says this, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his what? In his commands." Because if your pursuit is always being happy, it will always harm you. In the end, you will be harmed if you only follow your pursuit of happiness. Ask the person who tried to buy the one more thing that they didn't have the money for, and now everything they've got is being taken away from them. You see, remember, momentary pleasure are God's blessings. And you can go charge everything you want to charge, but the bill does come due. MasterCard, card and Visa and all that stuff, it all comes due at a high interest rate. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:33. Look what he says. Jesus said, but seek first God's what? Okay, I want you to circle the word, seek first God's kingdom. Would you circle those words? And his righteousness and all these what? Things. See that? See that? See things? All these things will be given to you as well. Now, God's not promised you an iPad 4. He's not doing it. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, we don't even have one of those. We will. You just hold on. We will. Steve Jobs left the master plan, okay? It's already there. So you say, well, we don't even have that. But I'm telling you that, listen, God promised you to meet your daily needs, what you need, you know, not our needs and not our greeds. And so if you trust him, he wants to give you what you need. And so that's what we have to understand. Sometimes our wants are not our needs. And Jesus is promising that if you'll put his kingdom first, you will have what you need. You might not have what you want, because as soon as you get what you want, your neighbor's going to get something better and it's going to make you want something else. Okay, let's move on. Why is that? Because Philippians 3:20 says this. Look what he says. He says, but we are citizens of heaven. We are the Lord's... Are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. In other words, this is not home. You know what? If we think this is home, this would be like, you know, let's just think for a minute. Imagine with me that we take a fish out of the water and we say, okay, Mr. Fish, you come up on this nice, beautiful beach right here, and you just live right here on this beach. You know what? We could take Mr. Fish, put him on the beach, and we could offer Mr. Fish, we're going to give you $100,000, Mr. Fish, for you to live on this beach. You know what? That wouldn't make Mr. Fish happy, because Mr. Fish is supposed to live in the water. So he's going to flop around. Or we could say, Mr. Fish, we're going to provide you with all the Budweiser that you can drink. Some of you just got really interested in, and you said, oh, I want to be Mr. Fish. Then Mr. Fish, you know, Mr. Fish still would not be happy, because Mr. Fish... he wants to live in the water. Or we can say, Mr. Fish, we're going to provide you with 1 year subscription to Playfish magazine. Mr. Fish still would not be happy. Why? Because Mr. Fish's home is in the water. You can put all the things you want to put on that beach, but he's still going to flip and flop around in misery, and he's going to die if he stays on the beach. Why? Because he lives in the water. When you and I only live for temporary things, such as things that are on planet Earth, things that we think we're going to make us happy, we're going to die spiritually. Why? Because we were created to live in heaven with God forever and ever and ever. And the things of this world are to grow strangely dim. That means I don't have to have it. Just because you got it don't mean I have to have it. Amen? That's the greatest lesson of life. My momentary pleasure are God's blessing. I choose God's blessings. Just because you got it don't mean I have to have it. Listen, I can celebrate with you. You know, listen, you get something nice. When I say, I'm proud. Great. Wonderful. I'm glad you've got it. But just because you have it don't mean I have to have it. And that's the greatest lesson in life, you know, is learning contentment. Is that just because you got it, I don't have to have it. And I think that the Lord is saying that to us. You know, Philippians 4:4, look what it says. He says, rejoice in the Lord when? I will say it again, what? Rejoice. We will never discover lasting happiness in temporary things. Did you hear that? We will never discover lasting happiness in temporary things. You just won't. It's always one more thing, one more thing, one more thing, one more thing. And you will never discover that. It's rejoicing in the Lord, which is eternal, where we're going to live with Him forever. That means that when you think about that God saved you, and that no matter what's going on in your life, that if you died right now, you would live in heaven with Him forever and ever and ever. Friends, that's worth rejoicing over. That you can't kill me. You know that, right? You cannot kill me. You can shoot me. You can shoot my body dead, but you can't kill me. Friend, what's inside of me is going to live on forever. You can destroy this body, but you can't kill me. That's why I can pillow my head safe at night. You know what? Say, well, aren't you afraid? You know, all this stuff's going to happen. And shouldn't you, you know, be scared and worried about, you know, all these people that's going to take over the world and how these riots are going to happen because the world's getting so bad? No, it doesn't scare me. Why? Because you can take this body, but you can't take my life. And friends, I'll be honest with you. I don't know about you, but I'm sort of ready to go to heaven anyways. I don't know. I mean, seriously. To get out of all this stuff? Absolutely. I'm ready to be with Jesus. So, shoot me dead if you want to, but I'm on my way to heaven. Would you turn your outlines over? We'll talk about point number 3. Remember, it's either my momentary pleasure or God's blessing. That's the choice that we have to make every day. Number 3. God blesses us when we choose to trust in Him and not in money. God chooses to bless us when we trust in Him and not in money. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've had a hard time with this one over my lifetime. I grew up very poor. And one of the things that God's had to work with me on is security through money. Because I've all, you know, if I've had some money in the bank, I felt a little more secure. And God's had to work with me through that, through the years. I'll be honest with you, because I've learned to trust in my bank account over His blessings. It's never been really big, but to me, man, when you grew up with nothing, if you had a couple thousand dollars in the bank, you were rich. God's had to work with me on this. And so hopefully He's working with you. Look what the Bible says in Luke 12:34. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there your what will be? And what? Isn't that the truth? Man, about 10 years ago, God talked me into investing, talked me into buying some Home Depot stock. And as soon as I bought it, it went, poof. You know what? I never thought about Home Depot unless I wanted to get something from my house. But after I put that money there, I put about $1,000 in Home Depot stock about 10 years ago. And I'm going to tell you something. Home Depot never leaves my mind. It's been bottom up. I'm thinking, oh, it's going to get better one of these days. And every time I'll get a little report about once a month. As a matter of fact, that ended that kind of investing for me, by the way. But I get this report once a month, and it shows me how much in the negative my investment is, because it never recovered. But I tell you what, once my money got there, my heart and thought got there. You see what I'm saying? So wherever your money and wherever your money is, that's where your heart's going to be and your thoughts are going to be. That's what Jesus was saying. You see, our currency in America says, in God we trust. But really what it should say is that in God we believe, but in our money we trust. Because that's what the way that we live in our nation. It's the way that we live. You know, the reason that money is such a struggle for us, because it's the number one competitor for our hearts. Money is the number one competitor for our hearts. You don't believe it? You can have a great relationship with someone, but you put money in the middle of that, and all of a sudden there's trouble. Would you agree with that? I mean, money strains more relationships than anything. Matter of fact, just look at your marriage. Look at how much you fight over it in your home. You know, it's the greatest strain on our lives. Look what the Bible says in Luke. Jesus said this. He said, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or either he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Would you circle this last statement? You cannot serve both God and money. You just can't serve God and money. So remember, momentary pleasure are God's blessings. Now, there was a guy in the Bible who had an issue with this, and he was called the rich young ruler, and matter of fact, he thought he was doing pretty good. He said, I've been keeping all the Ten Commandments, but yet he was feeling like he was missing something. So he went to Jesus and said, hey, I've been keeping all the commandments since I was young, but, you know, what something's going on. Something's missing. And let's just pick up the story right here in Matthew 19. All these I have kept, he said, the young man said. What do I still lack? In other words, he was feeling like he was lacking something. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your what? Possessions. And give. Would you just circle the word give? And give to the poor. Now notice he didn't tell him to give everything he had to the poor. He didn't say sell all your stock. He didn't say sell all. He just said go and sell something that you could give, because apparently this man was so wrapped up financially in what he had and taking care of what he had that he was not able to give. He was not freed up to give because what he had him. He goes on to say this. And you will have treasure where? In heaven. Now this sort of, you know what? We want treasure here, don't we? I mean, we want property here. We want security here. But listen, we're going to leave it all here. Jesus said, lay up treasures in heaven. He goes on to say this. Then come and what? I want you to circle your possessions and follow me. Come on, let's put one circle right there. Your possessions and follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away how? Sad, because he had great wealth. I want to tell you, he didn't go. I don't think he went away sad because he had great wealth. I think he went away sad because his wealth had him. His great wealth had him. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's absolutely nothing wrong with having money. Money is amoral, okay? You can use money for good or you can use money for evil. Money is not good or evil. Many people say to me, well, you know what? The Bible says that money is evil. No, it's not. It says the love of it is evil. In other words, like this rich young ruler, when it's got you, it's evil, okay? When it's got you, it's evil. Now, see, here's the issue. If your possessions have you, you will never follow God. So if your possessions possess you, then you'll never follow God. Have you ever watched, listen, I hate to say this, but I'm going to date myself, but remember in the 70s when the movie The Exorcist come out? Does anybody remember that? And the girl's head like spun around. You remember, like, I mean, was you like me, like you didn't sleep for like 3 nights after you watched that movie? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh boy. We really got a dose of being demon possessed. You know what I'm saying? And the thing about being possessed with this is that when you possess, it controls you. You know, all of a sudden, this voice, hi. You know, I have this little kid, this little voice comes up, I am Lucifer, you know. And they're controlled by that. Well, you know, the thing about that is that you can be possessed by your possessions. It may not come out and say, I am your money. I am what you want to buy, you know. It may not come out like that, but what it does, it controls your thoughts. Because every time you think about, you know, giving, you say, well, I can't give because I want this. And if I give this, I can't get that. And so that voice speaks to you. You are possessed by your possessions because your possessions are speaking to you. Wow. That's weird, isn't it? I mean, maybe you're not that way, but I am. And there's never been one time that God has put his finger on wanting me to give something, and I was like, no. Lord, I want this. This, not give that away. And my possessions begin to speak to me. And when I am possessed by my possessions, I will never hear the voice of God. Okay, you see my balloon right here? What does it say? Come on, say it like he was going. You're in love with your spouse, or boyfriend, or girlfriend, and you say, "I love you." Come on, let's say it together. Ready? I love you. Oh yeah, because that's what we say. That's what we say to what's on the bottom of this, which is a $20 bill right here. Now let's just say it again. Come on, I love you. That's right. That's right. You love it. That's right. It's going to buy you lunch in just a little bit. That's right. You love it. That's right. But see, what happens is this. If over here is my, if my possessions are over here and God's will is over here, and I choose to invest my money over here in my possessions, well, look what happens to my heart. My heart always follows my money. It always follows my money. So my heart will be here. I can say, "I love you, God, you're great." But oh, 2, 4, 6, 8, this is what I get when I want it. Never mind, that didn't work. Okay, let's move on. Then I go back over here to God. You know, but if I'm a giver and I'm giving to God and I'm doing what God says, look where my heart's at. Your heart always follows your money. It always, always, always is. Your heart and your thoughts are going to be where your money's at. So if you're not investing in God's kingdom, your heart is not with God. It just is not. You can say it is. You can say, "Oh, I want to go to heaven. I've asked Jesus into my life." But if, friend, if you're not letting your money say that by investing in God's kingdom and doing what God says, it's just not there. You're lying to yourself. That sounds hard, doesn't it? But you're lying to yourself. I want to give you this fact. 21% of people that go to church and church members, 21% give zero to their house of worship. Zero. Nothing at all. I'm talking about not one dime. Then only 76% of the people that are members of a church or go to church only give 2% of their income. Statistics say that only 2% of people that call themselves Christians and go to church faithfully, only 2% give a full tithe, which is 10%. Only 2%. Now, I just want to ask you something. Where is our heart at? Now, let's don't talk. Oh, no. Let's don't talk about sinner people. Okay, let's don't talk about them. Let's talk about church people. And I'm not just talking about our church. I'm talking about church as a whole, okay, across America and around the world. And if we say our heart is with God, and yet we're always investing over here, we'd lie to ourselves. Our heart isn't with God. Our heart is with things, just like everybody else. We are caught up just like everybody else in this world, and things has our heart. And until we change the pendulum and we put our money back over here that our heart may follow, then things are not going to change. The world is going to hell. Do you know that? The world is going to hell in a handbasket, and we wonder why. Why doesn't the church have a greater voice? Why is the world so immoral? I'll tell you why. Because our hearts of the church has left God, and we've traded our relationship with God for things, and our heart is really here. And let me tell you something. Listen, when only 2% of the church in the whole is financing the work in the kingdom of God, how much of an effect can we have? Listen, people are dying and going to hell. You know, I walked through the high school the other week, and as I walked around the corner, there were two girls that were locked up and kissing. I mean, kissing. You know what? And I wish I could tell you, you know what? My heart was, like, grieved. I didn't know what to do. I went over and knocked on the window. They were behind the window. I knocked on the window so they would stop. And I didn't know what to do. You know, instead of just being grossed out, my heart went out and said, "God, they just don't know." You see, we've told our kids that this is God. Things are God. You've got to have the cell phones. You've got to have the label closed. You've got to have all this. So our heart has been here, and we have left God out. And now our kids, they don't know God. All they know is things. They know that, oh, I just got to have the right thing so I can be happy. And because they don't know God, they're lost to anything. Anybody can come by and say anything to them, and they will believe it because they don't know God. Why? Because the church has been robbing God all these years. Christian people quit and they moved their heart away from God. And the world's dying. The world's dying. And the decision that we have to make is, where is our heart, man? Right here's today's decision day. Choose, you know, I can choose momentary pleasure. or I can choose God's blessing. And when the church chooses momentary pleasure, the world loses. Our kids go to hell. I wanted to go up to those two young ladies, and I just want to say, God loves you. And I care. I don't know who has used you or abused you or hurt you, but there's a God who loves you and He cares. But the voice of the church has been silenced because the people of God have sold out to possessions. And God is asking me, as your pastor, to challenge you to move your heart back to God, that the voice of God may reach out to the people of God. Because let me tell you something. Whoa, let me tell you something. When you start investing in God, all of a sudden this quits being my church. It becomes our church. It quits being my community. It becomes our community. And until you invest in it, your heart will never be moved. It will never be moved. And people are going to die and go to hell because the church. You know what's sickening to me? The church has to scrape for everything, you know? So we can have a youth program. We can have a children's program. We have to scrape, and we can just barely get our voice out there because the people of God have chosen to take the money of God and go over here and invest it in Outback. iPhones, iPads, 5 computers, flat screen televisions, every digital cable channel that you can get. And they robbed the house of God, and it's naked and poor. My friends, it shouldn't be that way. Look what the Bible says. Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see that I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much a blessing that you will not have room enough for it. You say, Pastor Jeff, if I give 10% of my income, that means I'm going to have to rearrange my whole life. That's the point, is that you rearrange your whole life around God. You see, because right now your life's arranged around all this stuff. But God wants you to move back over here. Rearrange your whole life. Today I have a challenge for you. I call it the tithes challenge. I make no apologies for this, so if it offends you, I'm sorry. You can take out the white sheet. I want to just share it with you. I realize it's a tough start for many people. And those of you that are faithful tithing, thank you. Because, listen, we wouldn't even be doing what we're doing right now if it wasn't for the few. You know, the people that, the 2%, just think what we can do when we get up to 90%. But here's what I want you to do. I do God's guarantee called the Tithe Challenge, and I just read the passage to you, and it says this, conditions. Sign God's challenge. Give 10% of your income for a period of 90 days. Watch this. Listen, it's very important. Each time you receive your paycheck, you bring 10% for the Lord to Stockbridge Community, marking it on your tithe envelope. Record the tithe on your giving envelopes or online at sccview.net. Here's a guarantee. If at the end of 90 days you feel your decision was a mistake or that you created a financial crisis or you did not receive a blessing, we will give you your money back when? When? Okay, whose signature's there? It's mine. I'm telling you, listen. Try God. I'm putting my name on the line to get you to take a step of faith and trust God. And if you'll trust God, you'll see that you're never going to find the blessings of God until you trust God. And the money's the way it shows up. Am I doing this sermon because the church is broke? Nope. Not doing it because the church is broke. I'm doing it because you need God's blessings over momentary pleasures. And I'm giving you the opportunity. So what I want you to do, it's on the bottom down here. If you'll take the challenge with me for 90 days, listen, you have nothing to lose, friend. If at the end of 90 days, listen, you say it didn't work for me, and listen, mark your envelope, because don't come in here saying, well, I put all this cash in the bucket. No. If we got a record of it, we will give it back to you. And listen, I have done this before. One other time I've given it back. Someone asked for it back and we gave it back, no questions asked. Here's a guarantee. God's ownership and my stewardship are wanting the blessings promised. I hereby choose to accept God's guarantee and challenge. For 90 days, I will begin to tithe 10%. Okay? Every time I get paid. Or I will continue tithing. Now, let me just say this to you. If you only tithe every 6 months, you're not a tither. In other words, if you only give 10% of your salary once every 6 months, you're not a tither. So don't mark that box if you're not really a faithful tither every time you get paid. But you will become one. I want you to mark that box. I want you to write your name and address down there. And by the way, your pastor is a tither. Oh, any, matter of fact, anytime you want to make sure, you just check up on me. You call the office here and say, hey, I want to see my pastor's tithe record. It's free. It's public knowledge. I give to this church and I give to God's kingdom. Go ahead and fill that out. And we're going to have a prayer. I want you to stand with me. I'm going to have a prayer. And then Chesty's going to come and receive the offering. But what I want you to do right now is ask you, I want everybody to keep your eyes on your own paper. I want you to fold it. I want you to tear this perforated part off right here. Tear that off. Fold it over. Even if you didn't fill anything out, just fold it over, put it in the bucket, and make your neighbor think you did. All right? And then you put this in your car. You put it where you can see it every day, the guarantee, because it's my name's on it with God's. Listen, my friend, God wants to bless you. I'm going to pray, and when I conclude the prayer, Chesty's going to come receive the offering. And I want you to put this in the bucket when you give your offering today. You ready? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. You're the Savior of the world. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you will just touch our lives. And God, today we surrender all. And we see the facts, oh God. It's the truth. What we've heard today is the truth. Whether we like it or not, it's the truth. Our world is dying because our hearts are far from you. And Lord, you said our money was the indicator. So today I pray, God, that you will touch the hearts of your people. And today, oh Lord, that you will be glorified in their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I love you, everybody. You may be seated. She's coming to receive the offering.